Anything else? Cursing, profanity. What's that? Coarse jesting, crudeness, lewd language and lewd jesting, gossip, backbiting. Shiloh. Pay no attention to that girl behind the curtain. But going back to Ian, blasphemy. Somebody said profanity. Yeah. What does Angie say? What did Angie say to you this morning, Tom? Oh, yeah. I was right. Angie talk. If somebody sends you an angiogram. Amen. All of these things, any and all of these things, profanity, blasphemy, gossip, backbiting, lying, deception, lewd, coarse talking, all of these things. And John, you had a thought? Lack of faith, words of doubt. Words of doubt. Praise God. You know, the Bible says, this is so important. We don't even realize it. Here's Isaiah. Of all the things he could have said, you know, I'm a hateful person, or I've stolen from people, or, you know, I didn't keep the Sabbath, or I hated my mom and dad, and I didn't honor that. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. This is so, and it rocked his world. It literally rocked his world. Now, the Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You can bless somebody with your words. It's so powerful how we can touch people with our words. Words of healing to them. Words of graciousness. Oh, what words do when tender, loving kindness has come from the lips of someone who just offers them to you with grace and mercy and healing. It can build a person up. It can change a person's life. We can bless someone with our words, but we can also destroy someone with our words. We can literally shred their soul to where they bleed out emotionally because of the sharp, cutting edge of our words. The harshness, the malice of our words. You can destroy people with words of anger that just belch forth like cannons of fire. You can destroy them with gossip and backbiting, saying things when they're not there that you would never dream of saying in their presence because you would just be so embarrassed to think for them to know that you thought that or said that. And yet it spreads like wildfire. We can destroy them with lies and deceptions, betrayals, to say one thing and do something completely different, to build hope and then snatch it away from their grasp. We can destroy them with names. Some of the it tears me apart when I'm in a store or a marketplace somewhere and some mom who's just filled with rage and has no sense of self-control begins to call her child these demeaning, horrible names, profane names, and identifies them as that. To say to them, I'm your mom, this is who you are. I gave you birth, and you are this profane, ugly name. How that must destroy that child's soul to be beaten up with those words over and over and over and over and over until that's all they can see in themselves is ugliness. We can bless people and give them life. We can destroy people with our words and speak death into their soul. Little survey. How many people here today can still feel the pain of words that someone spoke to you years ago whenever it comes to mind, you still feel that anguish in your gut. Amen. Amen. And you rehearse it over and over. If only I'd have said this. I should have said that. That was so unfair. I'm just... And so you just try to bury it. And forgive me for bringing it up. That's the power of words. It can take a lifetime to recover from something that someone said in a moment of anger. In a moment of callous teasing. I was tormented so bad when I was a kid by some of the school children because I was not blessed to be physically fit. I was fat. Kids used to say, without even thinking, mean things. How many people here today have seen marriages almost destroyed or even destroyed because of words? To have stood at the altar with such high hopes, to look each other in the eyes with absolute overflow of love and affection, and yet, in the course of not a very long time, to find themselves screaming words of bitterness and hatred and shredding each other's souls to where the point where they're bleeding out from the wounds caused by these words. How many people today, here today, have ever lost a friendship because of words? Last one. How many people have ever seen a church destroyed because of words? We have no idea the power contained between our lips. It's staggering. It is absolutely staggering what happens with this thing that we call our tongue. James 3, 5 to 10. I know you're familiar with this, but it bears reading. James says, even so, the tongue, it's a little member, but it boasts great things. See how great of a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. And it sets on fire the course of nature. And itself is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature, the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our God and Father. And with it, we curse men who have been made in the image, the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. Brethren, these things ought not to be so. Thank you, Shah. Here's the problem with the tongue. Here's the problem. The tongue doesn't have any controls on it. I mean, you can put your finger on your tongue. Go ahead. There's no buttons there. Smooth. Unless you got a tongue stud. You don't have to. That's okay. I don't want to know. There's no controls on the tongue. The tongue is operated by remote control. Who can guess where the remote control is located? Thank you. Who said that? I thought so. It's in the heart. That's where the remote is. That's where the controls for the tongue are. If you have a problem with your tongue, it means, as Shiloh so eloquently put, yeah. Jesus said, Matthew 12, 24, 34, for out of the abundance of the what? Heart. The mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can't make a tree good and its fruit bad, or a tree bad and its fruit good. Whatever's in the heart, that's what's going to come out of the mouth. That's where the remote is. That's where you change the channel. That's where you set the timer. So if we have an unclean tongue, if we are a man of unclean lips, it's a sign that we have an unclean what?
Heart.
If our words are profane and our words are malicious, it's a sign that our heart is profane and our heart is filled with malice. And we've been praying and seeking after revival for 2 years, but you know, you can't have revival when your heart is in that state. In order to have revival, you have to have clean hands and what? A pure heart. Clean hands and a pure heart. So if we're a people of unclean lips, if we bite and devour each other, and we're profane in our speech, it's a sign that our heart is not yet right before God. But guess what? Here's the cool part. I beat you guys up enough. I'm sorry. Maybe not. But here's the cool part. Here's the beauty and the awesomeness of this passage. As soon as Isaiah cries out, as soon as he confesses his sin, as soon as he just simply speaks the travail, "Oh Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips," immediately our gracious, tender, loving, beautiful, kind, merciful God leaps into action, and he sends one of these holy beings on a special mission. He flies right to Isaiah. Actually, he makes a quick pit stop on the way. Immediately, God moves to reconcile himself to Isaiah. In Isaiah 6:6, we read, Then, one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it, and he said, "Behold! This has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. You're clean, Isaiah. You're washed. You are now holy." Isn't God awesome? Isn't He kind and tender? How He longs to reconcile us to ourselves. How He yearns for us, and how His heart beats for us, and how He longs for us to give Him half an excuse to simply come and take us up in His arms and show us His affection and love and say, "Your sin is gone." He flew, He took a tong from the altar because the altar was holy. And so he took a coal from the altar with the tong and he put it in his hand. And he took this fiery coal and touched it to Isaiah's mouth, put it right on his lips. Can you imagine how painful that was? Let me show you how painful that was. I need a volunteer. Leomar. No, I'm kidding. Yes, I am kidding. Kiss this, baby. No. Yeah. What's that? What's that, Joe? Yeah, that is one hot kiss, man. Shiloh's like, "Yeah, that's how Joe kisses." Smoke and fire. Yeah, I'm just, thank you. I should be careful about paybacks, right, Heather? Yeah. Actually, when I think about that fiery coal, and commentators are all over the place with this thing, and when I think about that coal, I think of two different things. I think of the fire of God's wrath that Jesus took upon Himself for us. How He hung on that cross for the joy that was set before Him in bringing us to Himself. He hung on that cross and absorbed the complete, utter, full fire of God's wrath for our sin upon Himself. And how cleansing that is to be touched by that sacrifice and have our sins taken away by the blood of Jesus Christ. But then I also think of the fire of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's set like flames, like tongues of fire on the apostles' head on the day of Pentecost. That dwelt within preachers like Timothy when Paul said, "Fan the flame of the gift that is inside of you."